Welcome to the MegaCast.
And welcome everybody to the MegaCast. I am Wilco, your host for the evening, and I'm here with two other beautiful hosts tonight as well. How are you going, Josh? Perkins, Perko, Perkins.
I am sensational, my good man, Wilco. How are you?
I'm sad because it's been too long since I've talked to you in person. Well, but
talk to me in person. That would have been like, what, PAX would have been last time we spoke.
So technically, in person. It has been a long time. But you ignored me that whole time, so it's not really counted.
Well, only like half the time.
You were MIA, man.
Yeah, I was doing work, you know that. That other person you just heard having a crack at me is Mr. Joey. How are you going, Joey?
Fucking exhausted.
Yeah, you've been playing Dragon Ball FighterZ all week or what?
Just a little bit, because it had a pretty rocky start on Sunday Arvo for us in the open beta, but we'll get to that.
Okay, no problems. But you're tired, I'm tired. Josh, I assume, is just always tired.
Well, you know. It's hard to be this amazing and not be tired.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. As you can tell, we are without Matthew Perkins for the moment, so he'll be back fairly soon. He's just having a bit of a break at the moment. So let's move in to what we've been doing. It's been a while since we all left in anger, about, what, 6 weeks ago now from the Game of the Year podcast?
I didn't leave in anger. It was about a month.
Oh, but anyway, it happened. It finally got released last week. I hope you're all enjoying it, those who can get access to it at the moment. We will start promoting it fairly soon when things are up and running again. So, Josh, let's start with you, mate. You've had a fairly large list of things here. One thing on the list.
Yeah, I've had a good think about it. And seriously, like gaming-wise, the only thing I've really touched is Shadow of War. Like, that's it.
Tell me, I've been really, really hardly considering trying to get into this. I know they're not words or a sentence, but I really have been wanting to get into this because I do own it, and it was my game of the year back in, 2014, the first one?
14 or 15.
I'm pretty keen to play it. What's it like?
It's okay.
Well, that's a stunning revelation. Is that a box quote? Can we get that on a box somewhere?
Yeah, get it on a box.
I'll take it. Mega IGN, Josh Perkins says, okay.
Yeah, it's okay. With a question mark. It's got to have that question mark behind it.
Okay.
No, look, I mean, considering it's the only game I've kind of... Actually, that list lies. I've just remembered another one. Considering it's one of the only games I've really played this year so far, I think the gameplay is good. There's a couple of different things that, you know, you can do that you couldn't do in Shadow of Mordor, but it still really boils down to a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah.
And while the new additions... And, I mean, it's that catch-22 for any sequel to a game. Like, how similar do you make it without being too similar and then people losing interest because they're like, oh, I've already played this game. It's like it's a really fine line to walk for a lot of developers, I guess.
Definitely.
And like, it's good and I'm enjoying it, but you know, once some other stuff starts coming out start of this year, then I'm probably going to be putting it down pretty quickly and picking up some other stuff I'm more excited for. It's a good filler for me at the moment. That's not to say it's not a fun game, you know, like the Nemesis system is still fun to play and everything. And like all the talk of microtransactions and stuff, there's no paywalls that I've come across. There's nothing like that yet that I've seen. Like, it's there and you can go into a store and you can buy stuff to make it easier for you to play, but it's... Like, apart from the first tutorial part of explaining how it works, it hasn't really come up again. So, you know, like, it's... I can understand all the microtransaction talk from it from last year, but, I'm enjoying it, I guess, is what it really comes down to. It's a decent game.
The big commentary I hear from it since it's been released is the fact that what you've played... How many hours do you reckon you've put into it now?
Oh, 20, maybe?
Yeah, so from what I hear, it feels that 20 hours is where it should have finished, and the next 30 hours of gameplay is just the same over and over again, and it feels like it's artificially extended for reasons of, hey, let's just get past this by paying a little bit of money. But that's, I'd like to hear what you think of it down the track.
I think if it's the part of the game that I'm up to now that people are saying that it probably goes on a bit too long and gets a bit repetitive, I guess I can see that with what I'm doing now and what you have to do to progress the storyline and stuff, but we're still talking about a game whose core mechanic was a nemesis system where you get killed an orc and then another orc comes back or that orc kills you, and you're like, it's built on that repetitive nature kind of thing.
You are playing the system, not the game.
Which is good. Yeah, it's enjoyable.
Yeah, well, that's good. I'll hopefully get to it sometime in January or maybe February. We'll see what happens.
Better than kicking the teeth.
How good's a kick in the teeth, though? Seriously. And I had a few of them this year already.
The other thing I've been playing this year is Civ 6. I just dive straight back into that. I've sunk, I don't know, another 20 hours in the past couple of weeks into that already. You know, just trying to get that one more turn in before you've got to go and do something else. You know, like it's an addictive game.
Are you doing that because of the expansion coming out soon? Is that what you just wanted to get into it?
No. Like the wife and I used to sit down and play Civ 5 a fair bit together, and her computer's been a bit shit, so I've been doing a little bit of trying to make that not as shit.
She's actually playing it right now, to be honest.
It's on, her computer's on in the other room with Civ on, but she's actually not sitting on it currently. I think she might be in bed.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But I think this past weekend, so Friday night when we got home, we started a game. Kept playing it through Saturday. It was about Saturday afternoon we realized that we were just doing shit house. But struggled through. Kept playing for most of Sunday until we kind of gave up on that game and started our own separate games. And then kept playing that through Sunday and Monday.
And I assume she's going better now because she's got rid of you.
That's what she says, yes.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
But that's an addictive game, man. Like, you can sink so much time into it.
That's why I try not to touch it. I think I put it in my Do Not Touch folder in Steam, just purely for that reason. Joey, my friend, have you bought a Switch?
Maybe.
I did see something of it. Did
you... Yeah, of course I did.
Yeah?
Because we get... Me and Maddie work in the same business, and we get like $250 gift cards for Coles, my group, every year for Christmas.
Nice.
And last year I put it towards my PS4. So, and this year is like, and that's just sitting there collecting dust, which is a bit of a shame. I mean, anyway, the Switch, I go through Target because Kmart don't sell consoles anymore. What's up with that?
Yeah, they don't have any gaming whatsoever. Yeah. It's, not their market, I assume. Too high a price.
Stuff, yeah, too high a price. Can't make any money off it.
Yeah, true. But yeah, I went through Target again just like I did last year and got a Switch. But even though I put $250, down on that, I still ended up spending $375 on top of that. Because I only bought two games, the Switch and a wired controller. The wired controller was the cheapest thing of the lot. So it was the Hori...
99.
No, it was... What is it? It's like a Hori Pro Pad.
You got one of them. Okay.
Yeah, it's like $30. So, it was because it was a Boxing Day special or whatever, ongoing until start of the year.
Yep.
But it's actually a really good controller, but it sucks that I can't make it work with my computer just yet. Anyway, so I picked up Mario and Zelda. I finished, but I got them from EB because they were cheaper there, pre-owned, and I have no problem buying pre-owned cartridge games.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, why would you?
Yeah. So I finished Mario within the first weekend. I have 550 moons, so I've unlocked both the dark side and the darker side. I haven't had a chance to poke around in either of those yet, but I'm looking forward to it because that's the thing the game needs a bit more of, is difficulty, in my opinion. It's just too easy. Like,
it's too easy.
Like, how many stars, how many moons did you get, Josh?
It's around the 500 mark. Like, when I finished playing it, I'm like, you know what, that was a good game, but... I don't have any... I need to go back and play it right now. Like, it's done kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, like, I perfected the Cap, the Cascade, and the Sand Kingdoms. Like, got all their moons. And I was like, okay, well, that's 550. That's good. You only need 500 for the Dark Earth side, but I got 550 anyway. Just because, like, there was only two that I just couldn't get my head around. I was one in the Sand Kingdom and one in the Cascade Kingdom. And it was like, there's like a light pole like right near the start in the Cascades Kingdom. You have to get the dinosaur all the way down there and just knock it over. But like that's not something you do at any other point in the game. So, and then in the Sand Kingdom, I got jipped because like I haven't been using the motion controllers at all. Like, it just, I don't feel compelled to do that. So I've been using the, you know, the hardwired Hori controller.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it feels nice. It's a really good controller. That's cheap. But there's a part where in the Sand Kingdom, the last moon I got there was, there's a after you break open the moon cube thing, a moon gets put on like a pylon way out near the eastern edge.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to capture a bullet bill and just guide it over there, but you have to like speed it up. You have to accelerate the whole way, but you can't do it if you're using a regular controller. You have to shake it to get this fucking shake thrust. So I had to put down the regular controller, go and get the motion controls and fucking wiggle so I could get the bullet bill all the way over there. I was like, fuck it, god damn it.
That's bullshit. Yeah, but anyway, that's weird,
they just won't give up the waggle, man.
Yeah. Well, there's some moves that you can only do with the motion controls as well.
Yeah, like the 360 like hat throw.
The 360 hat throw. There's even,
you can do that with... Oh, no, I was using the Pro Controller and you have to waggle the Pro Controller.
Yeah.
But even, like, there's one... Like, you can throw it up at angles and shit like that, but, you can only do that with the motion controls. It doesn't let you do it any other way.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of cool. They're obviously utilizing the stuff that they've built into it to make sure that they're getting their money's worth.
Mm.
But it's just frustrating. I don't want to do that shit half the time. Especially if I'm using a good controller and I like the way it feels and I have to put it down, pick up some other ones which fucking feel weird and small.
And as I said, like I use a Switch a lot when I'm like lying down in bed or something, you know? Like it's hard, it's undocked. Yeah. It's really hard to use fucking motion controls when they're on the side of the screen.
Lying on your side.
Yeah.
Trying to hit yourself in the face with it.
You know, I've been playing it too. I started on the weekend, I think it was, and I think I'm only about 90 moons in, but it just feels like a chore at the moment. Like, everything's just, I've just got to, there's the next one, there's the next one, there's the next one, and there's no real, like, I'm really looking at when's this going to finish. I'll hit the credits and probably give up, but the sad thing is, apparently it does get the best after the credits, which is a little bit sad. I would like some more challenging stuff, or be forced to do some more challenging stuff at the start. Like, I'm hitting the minimum required, doing a few extra on each world, and then just moving on to the next one and not even caring about going back for the rest, or not even knowing that there, or thinking that there's any there to go back to be honest.
Like, I'm kind of tempted to get all the way up to 880 moons just so I can do the real final boss fight, which is a bit of a spoiler, but you know, it's a fucking long way off.
I will not get there. I can say that right now. But I'm enjoying it. It's good to be able to pick up and play for a little bit and put down.
Yeah.
And but it's I'm actually putting it down. I'm not getting sucked into it for hours and hours on end like I am with a few other games. So.
And you said you picked up Zelda as too, Joey?
Yeah, I've only just skimmed the surface of that. So I just got to the second town. We'll say not the horse stable, but the actual town where the seer lady is.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So I've just gotten there. I've just kind of wandered around and like, okay. So now I have to actually start, planning what I'm going to do next.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I really like it. I think the only thing that bothers me is how quickly some things break, but I understand why they did that.
Yeah.
So like being able, just kind of keeping your, I guess, mind ticking over with what you've got in your backpack is something that other RPGs don't really do. And that's effectively what you're being forced to do by always looking at what drops. It's like, oh, fuck, I could use another sword.
Yeah.
I'll just fuck this one up. Oh, it's about to break, but if I can peg it to this dude and then just whip another one out.
The
thing I don't like about it, in extension to that weapon breaking thing, is that actually changing weapons is a chore. Like, I'm half the time I'm like craning one hand over to the other one to... Like, I'll hold the button up on the D-pad or whatever, and then use my fucking left hand. Like it doesn't make sense.
I just go into the menu system. That's all I do. I just pause the game on the menu, which breaks it. Like,
I can't think of that being as much of an issue for me.
It bothers me the way it's been implemented.
Yeah, the way... I've never ever used that D-pad to change shields or weapons during a fight at all, actually. I never use it. I only ever use the menu system.
Do you think, Joey, might be... like, again, I'm assuming you're using the wired controller?
Yeah.
Yeah? Haven't looked at the controller. Like, when you look at the Joy-Cons, is there a greater difference between where the D-pad is and the... joystick or anything?
Nah, it's like any regular DualShock there. Okay. It's just
The way you probably did it, Josh, is you probably press plus, which is right there on your right thumb, and then that brings up your menu, and then you just go and change it. And didn't even notice about that whole D-pad left-hand side thing. Because it's out of the way, unless you're using your left thumb to bring that down.
Yeah, I think that's what I was doing, just left and right on the D-pad to change between them.
Were you tapping or holding?
No, just tap.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm trying to choose the best weapon time. So I have to hold it. If I can crane a hand over in a weird position and then wiggle the other stick to get it in the right spot and then let it go.
Yeah, I can see that now.
So I probably should just switch to the menu, but that's anyway.
But I think if you just tap quickly, it'll just cycle through it.
Let's probably try that as well. But then I'm taking my thumb off the movement, and if I'm trying to do that in the middle of the fucking battle, something's going to hit me.
Well, just get good, man. Like, seriously, I'm trying to play optimal here.
Just get good. Pause the game.
Just get good, man.
Breaks the immersion of it. But...
Now, I will. Have you started doing the shield surfing yet?
No, I haven't found I've been thinking about finding the seeds and stuff like it.
Yeah,
I'm kind of skirting to the edges of the map. I've probably played for about 4 hours, I guess.
Yeah.
And I've spent a lot of time running around the edge of the map, just looking for cool little things and I found that treasure trove that those two guys in the horse stable tell you about before I got to the horse stable.
Yep.
Like that's just how I do things in RPGs a lot of the time. So
I don't even remember that, to be honest.
Yeah, they just tell you that there's a treasure up down the road a bit.
Yeah.
And it's at the top of this fountain waterfall, yeah.
I think I might have done that.
Yeah.
But I realized something over my play, because I played it over Christmas back down at my folks. And I do the shrines. I just never, ever motivated to go hand those things in, or I don't think about handing them in. Like, I've got a little bit of salmon, a little bit of hearts. I've got 18 of these little orbs that I should probably go meditate and turn into
more
stuff. Nothing's leading me to do that, and I'm just keep on forgetting about it. I'm just bad at games, I guess.
Well, once you have you finished it, Rilke?
No, I haven't.
Because there
is 30-odd hours in though.
So. When you start looking at getting the Master Sword and stuff, you do have to have a certain amount of hearts and stuff.
Yeah.
So that'll force you to do it anyways.
But yeah, I'm not really fussed to get the Master Sword. I'm just wandering, and that's what I was doing. I was just walking around. Oh, there's a shrine over there. I'll go do that. Or there's some things. I'll go take on one of them. And still not leading me anywhere. I just feel like I'm doing nothing for a couple of hours, sometimes is good, sometimes is bad. It's just not grabbing me. Mm-hmm. But I'll finish it eventually.
Yep.
But, what's your early impressions, Joey, overall?
I like the way it controls. I especially like the hang gliding. Yep. Like all the cool shit you can do with time locking stuff and jumping on it. I froze a boulder, whacked it a few times with a hammer, jumped on it, rode it into a fucking group of goblins, and fucked them up. That's great. That is so cool.
Yeah.
But I don't like how short the shrines are. And when I was up on the plateau, I'm like, oh, okay, they're just training shrines. Nah, they're all like that.
Nah, that's it. 120 are the same thing.
They need to...
Some of them get a bit more in-depth as you get further and further.
All they need to do is just tack four together and it would have been okay.
Yeah.
Mm. I heard, I was listening to a podcast today and it was an interesting theory where he just wanted a mode where it was the 120 of them back-to-back and he could just finish one, go straight to the next and not have to walk around for hours on end to try and find them. And,
is that what the DLC is? The Master Trials things?
No,
the Master Trials is Horde mode where you basically start with nothing and then you've got to go wave after wave collecting you get for 50 levels or something or other. So, I wouldn't mind that idea, to be honest. I wouldn't mind a version of the game that came out that was just shrines after shrines. But still, like, I'm walking in going, please don't be a combat trial. Please don't be a combat trial. I actually said it out loud while I was down with my nephews and stuff. And we walked in, and sure enough, it was a combat trial. And I just went, this is no fun. And then we got into another one where it was a boulder rolling across a beam. And I had to knock it into a hole over the back.
Yeah.
And I just threw bombs at it, and then randomly it was just shooting it across the room and bouncing across the walls, and one of them landed in, and I'm like, yes,
yeah,
I did it. And then it went, okay, we're going to the next room, and it was a further distance, so you couldn't throw the bomb far enough to land on the thing. So I think I've got to go get a boomerang, or I've got to get some more arrows. I'm out of arrows, and I just can't find them. No one's dropping them for me, so that was another frustrating part. So
just because, as I said, like I use the Switch undocked most of the time. There's some of the shrines you start getting to, you've got like their full motion control puzzles and stuff. Like the way you twist the controls, the platforms will move and stuff. Do you know how hard it is? Like when you're sitting there, like with just like the undocked screen, because the whole thing's a giant fucking motion control, man. You're like holding it upside down above your head and shit, like trying to get it right.
Yeah, I was twisting around on the couch. I got to the first one of those where like it's the big, Rubik's Cube sort of platform, and you got to spin it around. I was like, what the f-? I have to point backwards, tilt the fucking thing. I'm like, it's kind of cool, but I don't want to do this ever again.
Frustrating as hell.
Yeah.
That's the problem with it. Yeah, like, I'm still not liking it, as I said. So I'd be interested to see what Joey's thoughts of it are down the track as well. Okay.
No, I'll get there. Like, I've found like one big fuck off sword. And I'm like, yeah, can't wait to find something big to fuck that, to like fuck that with. So there's cool stuff in it, but I just got to get to it.
That's the annoying thing. Like, I find these really cool swords, like ones that look good and seem like they're really cool, but I don't want to use them because I don't want to
lose break them.
Like, I went through a big, massive maze on one side of the island and found all this really good stuff. And I'm like, oh, this stuff looks really good, and it's what I want to kit out Link with. And then, I've got to use it in a fight because it's my strongest stuff, and then it's gone. So.
I mean, do you guys mind spoilers for this game a little bit?
No, there's not really much to spoil.
Because later on, I'm pretty sure some of the quests you do, you meet a guy and you can rebuy all the equipment that breaks.
Hmm.
So you get the opportunity to get all that stuff back again. Like, it's still breakable material,
but you've got to go to that guy to do it.
Yeah, you've got to go to him to do it, and it's like, it's a bit of a long quest line to actually get him as a vendor to begin with. But you get the ability to rebuy everything anyways, so
I'm doing towers. I don't know if I'm progressing. I'm slowly inching in towards the center, and then I push back out again. I don't know. I just don't feel any sense of accomplishment in that game at all at any stage.
That's weird, because even from the get-go, I've felt like I can always see where I need to go, and I just kind of put it off while I go and explore shit. Especially with the first three shrines, you kind of look at them, and I can guarantee both of you aimed for the left one first when you were standing on top of that tower.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, can't even remember, but probably.
But even when you go through those twin peaks, you're kind of guided. You can either go right where there's a little forest, or you can go left where there's a nice footpath. So the way they've laid out the terrain does guide you fairly well. So if you went back to the last quest point that you went through, you probably see where you need to go if you kind of just nutted out the terrain sort of thing.
I don't think I've completed a quest in a very, very long time. Like, I got to the first dungeon, I was well underpowered, and walked away from it. And I'd just been doing stuff, meeting people, wandering, killing things. You don't have
hearts, mate.
Go hand in your hearts, man. Then you won't be underpowered anymore. You actually be able to do shit.
Yeah, no, I'll get there. Like I said, I'll get there eventually. It's going to be one of those games I'll put down and pick up. Probably in 2019, early somewhere, I'll finally beat Ganon.
You'll be able to fucking make it your Game of the Year nomination.
No, definitely not. Never going to be that. Ever, to be honest. I'm just not enjoying it that much. But Mario's good. But I see where people are excited about it, but I still feels like it's more they're excited about Mario rather than the game itself. Yeah. Like you said, it's very easy, and it doesn't want you to really try that hard. It just says, here you go, just collect this stuff and have some more moons. Like, some of the moons are just sitting there, just straight up.
Yeah, just not walk even, over it.
No puzzle.
They could have cut the number of moons down to a third of what they are, made it 300, made just kept the difficult ones, or the, you know, the reasonably difficult ones, and it would have been
fine.
More rewarding.
That's it.
Mm. Like, psychologically speaking.
Or even just upped the amount, the minimum amount, by maybe 10, 15, 20%. On each one as you're going through, so instead of getting to 550, maybe you had to get to 700 and just push each person at each different kingdom a little bit harder. Like, I'm in and out of a kingdom in half hour, 40 minutes at this stage. And like Udonk City, I didn't really like it, but I didn't really explore it because I just wanted to get out of it as quick as I could, so I got the minimum and got out of there. With a couple other kingdoms, I actually
explored a bit.
It's probably the least interesting to explore, so I'll definitely give you that.
Yeah, like everything seems to be inside a building. Like, there's a few on top of buildings, but I don't know, it's just weird. But anyway, like, it's a good game, and it's definitely, if you got a Switch, I would get it. So, what about your fighting games, Joey? Talk to us about your fighting games.
Well, I've been hustling pretty hard since I've, like, a couple of, one of the guys I play in a band with, he's a great Tekken player. Like, he's above Matt, that how far Matt is above me.
Yep.
So in terms of skill level. So
yeah.
And him and a lot of the guys from the Brisbane scene are going to Evo in Japan, which is the first Evo in Japan ever. And I didn't realise that when I booked my tickets.
Wow.
So and I've actually got a press pass for it as well.
Oh, very nice.
So, did ya?
So those guys may not be able to get to the last day because, you know, they have to fucking win to get there. And and overseas tickets for the last day sold out in 15 minutes.
Oh,
and you're there, like, already.
Yeah, I didn't think about it, like, because when I was, they got on Discord at like 3 a.m. in the morning to, they had to sign like forms and shit, and like they were already gone, and I woke up at like 6, like, oh, is the group buyer still gone for those tickets? I'm like, nah, dude. It's like, fuck. And I was like, just went and looked at the website and like, press. Oh yeah, I'm one of those.
Oh yeah, I can do that.
Put the email in. I got a response within like an hour, so I was fucking stoked about that.
Yeah, nice.
So, yeah, get to go to the first Japanese Evo, which is going to be fucking amazing. And I get to be there on the last day when shit hits the fan and all the finals are happening. So I'm super excited about that. And I'll be able to take my Switch with me and play it on the plane. And
yeah. Now, Joey, like, I mean, first ever Evo in Japan, right?
Yeah.
Are you gonna like, bite the bullet, take the leap, and, like, just get, like, a Twitter account so you can send us photos of what's happening, man, and how crazy it's going to be?
No, I'll just put it on Facebook.
Okay.
You guys can reshare it through the website, Facebook from there. I don't have access to that.
Sorry, guys. I tried to get him to get to Twitter.
We did.
I will say I've been spending some time with Matty. He came over to my place and brought Tekken over. And he tried to play Tekken at my joint, and I think he lost something like 27 matches in a row. Yeah. Because he reckons
online against other people, not against you.
Because he reckons the lag on my TV is just so bad. He reckons like 4 or 5 frames. He's like, I can't fucking play. I cannot play on this TV.
That's crazy. Like, no TV is good for playing games on, except for some specific LCD models. Like, when I was working at JB Hi-Fi, I specifically bought Sharp TVs because they had a 2 millisecond response time and they were 100 Hz TVs. So they were. Like, I use them as PC monitors. They were so good. Like, I could show everyone when there's a scene change. Like, you know, customers who came into the store, like, okay, watch this. It's going to change scenes. This one will change first. And, you know, like, everyone could discern how much quicker it was than all the other ones on the wall.
Mm.
So, like, there is a difference. And, like, people downplay, you know, the 100 Hz stuff. But, you know, again, in, like, really nice documentaries, if there's a nice panning shot, if I showed them that screen or any other 100 Hz screen and something that isn't that on one of those nice big panning shots in a documentary, they'd look at the one that isn't 100 Hz and is like, why is that one shuddering?
As
if there's something wrong with it. And that's part and parcel with the film industry itself. They don't want to go beyond 24 frames. Like, you guys would have, you probably remember the Hobbit when he got the backlash for 48 frame recording.
Okay. Yeah.
which is, you know, I'm all for pushing frame limits. That's why I play on PC over any console, basically, and why I play even the Switch in docked mode, because it runs smoother when it's in the dock.
Mm.
But anyway, back to what I've actually been doing. So yeah, I went to a Tekken meetup with it to just kind of see all those guys. It was basically a warm up last weekend for Evo Japan, and it was kind of good to see. There was a lot more people than I've seen at one of those meetups before, which is really good for, you know, just the Brisbane Tekken scene in general, I guess.
Yep.
But I've been talking to a manufacturer for like aluminium boxes so that I can upgrade my hitbox and like build another sort of proof of concept around that, which is cool. I'm going to try and pick up them when I get over there on the last day. I think Dragon Ball FighterZ comes out while I'm over there as well.
It's Australia Day, I think.
Yeah, it's not one of the games at Evo because it's not released yet. Like the players don't have their hands on the final product, so they can't really compete in it. But I think that's going to be a pretty big thing at Evo, which I'm really excited about, because, you know, playing the beta this weekend, it went open beta on Sunday. The closed beta for people who pre-ordered was 2 days before that.
Mm.
The open beta got flooded, so people just couldn't join. Like, I was sitting there, like, hitting the go button for, like, an hour, just trying to connect to the network. And they must have, like, patched it mid-flight, because it said... A message finally came up and said, "Oh, the servers are under maintenance. Here's like a trial game." So like, they added in this little mode where you could just play as a random team just to get a feel for it.
Oh, okay.
Like
okay.
While people were frustrated at not getting in to actually play the game. Yeah. But then I tried to play a game against a friend last night. So we got into the same lobby. We could see each other's character, and like the way I saw other websites reporting it. Because there's no way to directly in this beta, there's no way to directly challenge a friend. So what, you know, we set our matchmaking rules pretty broad, but it said, like, you know, all these websites said it will prioritize people in your lobby over anyone else. There was four people in our lobby. Me and my friend were two of them. We never got matched between us, like, in an hour. We got all these people who weren't in the lobby, and it's like, fucking... And, like, one of the guys, like, I was like, okay, fuck it, I'm just going to play one of these guys just to get a feel for it. And one of the guys was fucking somewhere else, and because they use a delay netcode, so that frame delay that Matt was talking about, that's actually part of the way the game plays online. So if the connection between you two is bad, they add in frames of delay. And the last guy I played against was like 20 frames delay, which is a fucking long time. That's like a third of a second.
Yeah.
It's a 60 frames per second game. And it's just, like, you could feel it. I beat the guy because we were both just spamming shit. Like I could tell that he wasn't landing anything properly and neither was I. And yeah, we were just like, ah, fuck it. It was just spam shit until one of us dies. And like we both got down to like a sliver of health when I managed to pull out this like a Kid Buu's super and I laughed because it was awesome. But it was still a fluke because neither of us could play properly because of the massive delay. So delay is real.
What do you think? What do you think of the actual gameplay? Because I played a little bit over to the weekend too, and it's pretty weird. Nice.
It's kind of weird though. Like I still can't. I don't feel like I know exactly what's going to happen when I push a series of buttons, and I put that down to the auto-comboing system they've put in.
Yeah.
So like I fucking hate that. Like in Marvel vs. Capcom, you can turn it off.
Yeah.
So like,
I'm assuming you'd have to. Well, maybe you can't turn it off in this because some of the systems that run off it.
Yeah, there's like they've kind of. I think they've hinted at that you can't, because what you can do now, if you hold backwards and input your string, then the auto combos don't take effect. So, you know, that's just a weird thing to do.
Mm.
But I understand why they want to do it, because you know Dragon Ball is one of the biggest animes ever.
Make so it they more accessible.
Yeah, absolute mass appeal. And the auto combos still feel good. Like, you can mash one of the three attack buttons, and it still looks cool.
Yeah, shit, yeah.
And obviously, like, you know, there's a light, medium, heavy. So if you mash the medium, you get a medium-looking combo. And heavy, you just get, like, three big hits if you smash the heavy button a few times. and the character automatically chases after, you know, the person mid combo if you hit him up in the air as well. So yeah, it all looks really good. Like the animation in the game is so much better than the actual anime. It's fucking mate. Like, I can't get over how good it looks.
Especially if we're talking Dragon Ball Super, because the animation.
Oh, it's fucking woeful, man. I showed a friend of mine who's like a, you know, he's an artist. He's a really great painter, and a big Dragon Ball Z fan as well. And like he hasn't been watching Super at all.
Oh.
So I showed him, like, it was just, he came over, we were just having a couple of drinks or something. I was like, oh, dude, check this shit out. And he just, like, went to some random episode that I'd already seen, man. And I just kind of pressed play. I was like, hey, look at that. It's like, what the fuck is that? Who paid these artists? It's
so bad, man.
I don't know, man.
It's so bad. Like, I've been watching it with Maddie a bit, and it is fucking woeful. It is woeful. Man. But even some of the characters in this one now are just so, you sit there and you go, what the fuck is even happening in this show?
Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, the catch is I like the story, but it's just, yeah, the whole execution around it just seems so weird.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, but did you get a handle on the summoning Shenron in the game?
Yeah, because all you have to do is mash light attack.
Yeah, just mash light attack, but you'll get them randomly. Or you can try to do it normally. So to get the 7-star Dragon Ball, you've got to do a 70-hit combo.
Yeah. But someone's going to die before you even get there. I mean, the scaling kicks in at about 30 hits. Yeah. And that's when you stop doing damage. But, yeah, I don't know. They've done it that way so that it won't turn up in competitive games, which is a kind of a smart move. So, you know, the pros aren't going to be using those auto-hit combos. They're not going to be mashing square to get, you know, the balls in string in quick succession.
Yep.
But I mean, obviously the things you get from Shenron would, you know, dramatically affect the game. There's a few streamers, you know, really good players, and they've never seen a Shenron summoned in any of them. They've played like 200 games each or something. And it's like, that makes, so that the way they've made that system is really only for people who just kind of get in and have a bash.
Yeah.
So, I think it's a smart move, but I don't know why they'd bother putting it in at all. Like, they could have made it part and parcel of the game, like the stones are in Marvel's Capcom Infinite. So that, like, they could have made it, you know, a proper part of the game. Like, even fucking one of, like, Krillin's support, his assist, he throws a Senzu Bean, so there's already like a life return mechanic in there. It's obviously the Shenron one is, three of them are fairly defensive. One is like, give me all my life back. Resurrect one of my guys. The offensive, I think the only really offensive one there is like the,
make me invincible.
And the give me extra power one, where you get another one of those burst things.
Yeah.
Or refill it if you've already used it.
Mm.
But yeah, like, you'll never see it in a pro game. So it's,
that's what I was thinking.
But I think they've done that on purpose. So I'm still excited. Like, I want, the thing about the beta that bothered me is I couldn't get into like practice mode and just try and practice combos properly. I had to try and figure them out on the fly. And I was like, fuck it.
It's just that, like, that training mode.
Yeah, just like the regular teaching you how to play the game training mode. Not
play the game kind of thing. Yeah.
Not free practice, which is way more valuable in a fighting game.
Oh yeah, would be.
But you know, that's, people are just, I'm gonna lab the shit out of it when I get a copy. So, you know, I'll still spend a lot of time in that practice mode. I mean, I don't begrudge them. They obviously wanted to stress test, not have people sitting in labs practicing combos.
Yeah.
And, you know, by the end of the beta, I think, you know, we could see just as many people online in all the servers, but, yeah, it was, they seemed to get their shit together by the end of it. So hopefully the launch won't be too bad.
Yeah, hopefully.
I just realized I was about to segue into the news. I haven't even talked
we're almost 40 minutes into this.
I haven't got too far yet.
So you're done now, Joey?
I think so. I've got,
that's all you've done?
Yeah. I mean, I've probably done more, but it's been a whole month since we've talked about anything, so
yeah, I know, it's crazy. Well, as we said, I've played some Mario and some Zelda. Played some Overcooked on the Switch while I was down home with the kids and my daughter can't play games. I've given up trying to teach you how to do things. But I played with my nephew and we had a bit of fun. It was good. I enjoyed that until it got too hard. And but yeah, it was a very good co-op game, catch co-op game. I love that. Played some PUBG the other night when Brendan from 8-Bit Gaming, him and Cards Plays have a Australian server. So we tried to do some private games and unfortunately there was only about 11 or 12 of us there, so they opened it up to the public and we got flooded with Chinese people, so it wasn't very fun. And we jumped off, but played the new map. Looks pretty cool.
Yep.
They got combi vans. Nice. It's still PUBG.
Yeah.
I can vault things now. I don't know what else to say about it. game of the year. And we've obviously been stuck into a lot of the Division at the moment. Test. So all the boys are playing that in chat at the moment. So
yeah, it seems to be coming off again.
Yeah, playing a lot of Resistance, which is the new game mode brought in with the last patch. Playing the legendary mission, legendary modes in the missions that they've got, which I have never finished one, haven't even attempted one, and we were flying through it the other night as a four-man, which was good fun. So shout out to Grumpy, Last Wave, and McDad for running me through them, getting some exotic gear finally.
Good blokes, those blokes.
Yeah, they are sometimes. So I guess the only other thing that I want to talk about was I finally started Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see what all the fuss was about, whether it was that bad or whether some people were saying it was good. Probably the missions. What am I just got to the Luke Skywalker mission of the storyline, so a couple hours in and I'm not impressed at all.
I picked it up Boxing Day at the sales and I haven't turned it on. Like I just got it.
I've got it cheap, so it was on one of the sales, but the world just lacks any kind of polish for any kind of game. Like, the AI is terrible, absolutely terrible in this game. They just do the same thing over and over again. The AI moves extremely awkwardly. Like, they just look out of place walking around the world. The way that things in the environment move, scripting for them is extremely, it's just one script given to every single thing. So if you walk up, you see one bird, it'll 100% do the exact same thing every single time. And it's just like everything's on repeat in this world. Yep. And the gunplay wasn't that good. It throws you out of the gameplay whenever you open a crate. Like, you see a box that you'd normally get your ammo from, and all of a sudden you open it, it pulls you out into the menu screen and says, hey, what cards do you want to put with your weapons now? And I'm like, excuse me? To change weapons, it does the same things, pulls you out of the game. What was the other? Well, when you die, you don't come straight back into the game. You actually go to the card menu to put things in your weapons again. And I'm like, just put me back in the game, please. So it fights against you. Like, it really doesn't want you playing and it doesn't feel like a game. I'll finish it. I want to get to the multiplayer, but I want to finish the single player first. I'll see if the multiplayer is any better, because obviously that's what it was built around.
Yep.
But the single player is terrible. Like, it, as a game, if you pulled Star Wars out of it and just put it as a game, it would be a $5 Steam bin title that you would hope to never buy. That's how much effort they've put into it. So I'm sorry, but that's where it's at for me.
That's your verdict.
Loot boxes aside, still doesn't do anything for me. So
okay.
I'm glad that I got to play it though, so I could actually see. Like, I didn't want to be that person who just kept on having that one opinion without actually experiencing it, so I'm glad to actually have an opinion that's informed at the moment. So
the problem is though that, like, it looks beautiful, like all the it looks aesthetically really, really well polished, but there's nothing underneath that.
Nope, not at all. They've got a fairly wide bin to pull AI scripting from, and they've decided to pull probably 2001's AI scripting from some game that they found lying around, and they've decided we're not going to spend any money on anything else. This game is just going to look beautiful, and that's the only money we're going to spend on this game, because the world just feels dry and like lifeless because everything's just doing the same thing. It's just
the real Stormtrooper like experience.
I literally there's this one pink bird you see all the time, and you walk up to it and you know, okay, I'm 7 steps away from this thing. Its thing's now going to flap its wings and go directly up, not any direction. Like, how hard is it to replicate that script, change it to left, right, exit any other different direction, and just put it on a random loop? But oh, anyway, cool. That's what I've been playing.
That's your playing. They're right.
I've been wanting to talk about that for a while, so it's good. Get that off my chest. I will, like I said, I'll finish it and I'll give you more bad reviews of it later on.
Good man.
Let's get into the news. We're almost at the hour, 45 minute mark already. So,
this is the fucking news.
Do you want to sort of pick a handful of these news articles since there's been so many since we've been away? What's the couple of things jumping out at you there, Josh, that you're really excited to talk about?
Look, I mean, as you guys have said, it's been a month since we've been here and doing this. I mean, there's a lot of news that's come out in that time frame, you know, all the stuff. I guess one of the big things for me was the DMC and Dragon's Dogma director, I can't pronounce his name, you know, came out.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that bloke. And came out and said, really weirdly, and I don't know if I really understand what he said, but his new game is under Climax. Okay.
That's the Dante speak. You know, he's just trying to get in the mood for Devil May Cry 5.
Yeah, I like Devil May Cry, and I really like Dragon's Dogma, and I think if it's the same, you know, like, I'm expecting his game was probably going to be pretty good, but I'm worried about what he's doing with the game if it's under Climax. That's all I'm saying. You know, that's about it. That's about it.
He's playtesting it.
I think he's...
He's playtesting it.
I was about to say, I think he might be watching too much into those Pornhub stats that came out at the end of the year as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a big thing that's jumped out to me. The other one, you know, I guess, which we probably all saw coming, was that the Switch has become the fastest... selling home numbers. Video game console in the US.
The biggest side story of that is Microsoft came out in a tweet and somehow it was cryptically said that they were the number two selling console for December, which I'm still dubious on, but I think it was something along the lines of I wish I had the quote here, but they basically said we are the best-selling home console for December ahead of PlayStation 4 or something like that, or we're not quite number one. And everyone's going, oh, okay, so Switch is officially number one for December, which is good news for them. Yeah. That's great news. It's really strange, but good news for Microsoft that they were able to get ahead of PS4 for December, because that's obviously a big thing. I'm dubious on that.
I don't know if I'd believe it without seeing the figures myself. Like, because you just got to wonder if they're counting, oh, well, we also sold X amount of Windows 10, you know, and it's the same, you know. I don't know.
It's a strange one because all I know is everywhere I looked, Xboxes were selling for $299 Australian. Like, I had a $200 voucher to Coles Myer, and I was very tempted to just go, oh, it's only going to cost me, I think it was even $79, $279 to get an Xbox with a couple games.
Yeah.
That's a really good bundles going, so I assume that's probably where it's come from, where PS4 didn't really discount their machines over Christmas. They sort of, they're at, what, 78 million machines sooner or later, so they don't need to.
It's like with anything else when you look at competitors, man. Like, if you've got one competitor that is flouting and saying, you know, we did really well this month because we sold more than our other competitor, but the only reason they did it is because they've discounted it so heavily. There's no real life in your product then, is there?
I'm very worried. I've had a few discussions about this where Microsoft said we know what we're saying, but it's just a lot of things. Like, I don't see them as a good publisher anymore. As an actual publisher, they seem to muck up every project that comes under them at the moment. So we've had Scalebound, Crackdown is in all kinds of mess. Sea of Thieves will come out this year and it will be great for about a week, but I don't see the longevity in that. Age of Empires remake has just had a major delay. I can't think of the lot. Like, Halo 5 came out with a terrible story, great multiplayer. That seems to be their biggest success as a publishing house in a while.
Yeah.
I guess they sort of published Cuphead, semi-published it, not really, because it's still independent, so I don't know.
Yeah.
They've got a lot more misses in the last 2 years as a publisher, and as a manufacturer of console, they've had a very big miss, so...
And thanks for bringing back that awful feeling. I think we're about a year. I think it's been about a year now since Scalebound was cancelled. So,
yep. I
think it's just
a new
anniversary.
Rest in peace.
Oh,
thanks, man.
And we've had the whole Fantasy Star Online debacle in that period. There was another thing. Oh, Fable Legends as well got cancelled under their watch as well. So
that was always going to get cancelled, though. Like, seriously.
Yeah, but still, that's them as a publisher somehow not being able to get the developers to bring out a game that's of quality. Yeah, so
good point. So I mean, that's kind of what has jumped out to me the most, I guess. You know, there's been a lot of news between now and then.
I think the biggest things for me, obviously, is Monster Hunter PC is slated for fall 2018. Mm. So it's about 7 months after release of the PS4 and Xbox versions.
Yeah.
I understand where they're coming out. They've come out and said that we just haven't made a PC game before, so we don't know what we're doing. We're working on it. We want to get it right. We don't want to ship it out in a broken state, so we're taking our time, and that's fair enough. Good on them.
But
7 months... I'm going to try and get it on PS4 in that 7 month period before I get it on PC.
What strikes me as odd about that, though, is they've got, you know, it's obviously a Capcom game. The Capcom guys did a fucking smashing job of putting Dragon's Dogma on PC. So that all they did was port it directly using the engine they had. And it is so good. It is one of the best ports I've ever fucking seen. And that goes for Dead Rising as well. One of the best fucking ports I've ever seen.
So I wonder if they're using a different engine for the Monster Hunter.
Isn't it Unreal 4? I'm pretty sure.
I think it's not
their engine anymore. But I mean, that engine is a bit old. It's not really current gen. Yeah. So I suppose they must have the talent there for porting and engine building. But they've obviously done something different. So
yeah, it is a strange one. And like, it wrecks that chances of me waiting for the PC version, unfortunately. But
I'm patient.
Yeah, I know you are. I just, at that time of year, like, I'm already going to be looking at Forza Horizon 4. Like, there's going to be a handful of other massive titles that are coming out that year that I know will be taking. Like, I don't know when Detroit Become Human's coming out, but I'm assuming it's around then as well.
Like we're talking... Well, one of the other things that jumped out at me that I guess we should probably mention here too, because it's got a little bit to do with the lag. You know, with Red Dead Redemption 2 was the date for that was possibly leaked to be June 8th.
June 8th,
I think. You know, so
I did a tweet a long time ago, which I think I claimed July 7th. So I'm not that far off.
No, not that far off.
I was saying 2017, though.
So you're pretty far off.
Yeah.
No, we just ignore that bit, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But if they're talking, you know, 6-7 months after release, it's going to be in that kind of time frame, and you're going to have some possibly pretty big games releasing.
It's going to get overshadowed on PC, unfortunately, but people will get it, and it all depends on the community. Like, if a few of your mates start getting it, it's a four-player co-op game, all of a sudden you're getting sucked into it, like Destiny, like PUBG, like all these games at the moment that are fighting for that four-player co-op space. So, which leads us into another thing with Steam having 18.5 million users concurrent in January.
Huge.
That is massive.
Yeah,
that's huge.
Yeah, and three of them were PUBG. That's 3 million. Mm. The other actual three was Battleborn or something like that.
Battleborn?
Or no, what's that? Lawbreakers.
Battleborn, mate.
Lawbreakers.
he said the other three. The other three single people were playing Battleborn.
Yeah, not 3 million.
You know, you know, Lawbreakers actually hit zero over the last month.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, really? It was at zero.
God.
So I was being generous when I said three. Okay,
you're being generous.
But yeah, that's big news. And I think what I saw today, I don't think it's in this, is that Fortnite's apparently hitting 2 million users. And was that concurrent or was that just users?
I'm not sure.
I thought it said concurrent.
That's what I thought I said sort of as well. It might be PS4.
It'll be combined. Because the
breaks 2 million concurrent players.
Yeah, on PC they don't use the Steam launcher either. Epic Games have their own launcher. Yeah.
So they can say whatever they want. Do they have that advertised in the launcher? Probably not.
I don't know. Maybe I haven't fucking wound it up in a while actually. It's the Unreal Tournament, the new Unreal Tournament's on there, and that's pretty much the only thing I've used it for. Oh, I played Paragon a little bit. That's a pretty interesting game, but.
Well, they're talking about a Battle Royale mode too now as well.
That's interesting.
Yeah. There's a few. What else was there? There was one last thing. There's a few. HTC Vive.
Yeah, that's one of the positive things I wanted to touch on. So
yeah, definitely.
I've been holding off on getting any VR for a while. And I was like, CES is coming out. There's rumors of the new Vive coming out. And here it is. So that's really fucking exciting.
Pro edition.
Yeah.
What's upgrade in the Pro? It's a higher resolution.
Yeah, higher resolution.
Forward facing cameras.
Yep. And a wider viewing angle as well. So, and you know, better sort of latency management, so it sticks with your head a bit better and all that sort of thing.
So that means we're probably going to get a price drop in the straight up Vive, or this will be just jumping in at the higher price, you reckon, and not dropping any.
I don't think I've seen any prices anywhere. I'm guessing. I thought I saw 1,000. I'm guessing it's going to be $200 more, at the very least. And the old one will probably still be that much because they can't make it any cheaper, I don't think.
The other big news was what I was excited about anyway was the wireless adapter to work with both units to make the headset finally officially wireless.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. Really really handy as well. There's a couple of negative things I wanted to touch on. There's the this whole bunch of fucking virusware that's stricken basically everything, or potentially will, you know, could strike everything. So the Spectre CPU break, that's you know, it's there, but it's very complicated, and you've got to be in front of the computer to do it basically. But that gets everything. Then there's Meltdown, which affects only Intel CPUs. Then there's something else that only affects Intel CPUs, and I'm just kind of like, thank fuck I didn't buy an Intel for once. But and on top of that, AMD are refreshing the Ryzen line in April. I don't think that's going to be that big of a deal, but it's cool. Like, it's a positive to stack on top of them not being affected by all this other fucking malware stuff, or potentially affected, I should say. Mad Cats came back to life.
Yeah, that was the other positive.
that was pretty interesting.
Mad Cats are back again.
I think it's silly they didn't have any actual products for CES. But you know, obviously, it's probably it would have been too soon for them anyway. What else? There's a couple of good ones that I wanted to talk about very quickly. Oh man, the American Homeland Security organization.
Yes.
They're making an FPS game to train teachers how to respond to school shootings.
How good is that?
Maybe stop the guns from getting in the kids' hands in the first place.
That would be a start. No, just train the teachers to shoot first. That's what you got to do.
Oh my God.
So fucked.
We had the whole swatting thing as well happen in the break where the guy, kid got killed, unfortunately.
That guy's getting charged for manslaughter, though, so that's,
Yes.
What the fuck is wrong with the world?
There's so much wrong with it. But I am looking at the top sellers from Steam 2017 at the moment. Some interesting things on there.
Because they organized it. They showed you the top 100 and they organized it in like platinum, gold, blah, blah, blah.
Platinum, gold, yeah. Some good to see Rocket League up there in the top, in the platinum ranks. Dota 2, free to play, gets up there.
Yeah.
Here's the proof of make a good game and you'll make money no matter what. The Witcher Wild Hunt is still up there.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Divinity's up there, Ghost Recon and Rainbow Six, which is really good to see.
Now, looking at how that's set out, like, to me, that's saying The Witcher was the top of the top sellers. Just the way that's set out. Is that what you guys are taking away from that too? Looking at that screen?
It kind of strikes me as odd that they'd do that, because, like, I can imagine there'd be a lot of sales on good old game as well. So if it is that way, that's fucking astounding.
Mm.
That is huge because, as you said, that's sold across the two platforms, to be honest. I did notice the boys were talking about there's Ubisoft games appearing on Origin Store at the moment, which is EA's store. Mm. That's interesting. They've, Stevie Jar actually bought, and I think Tim McDad bought Ubisoft titles from Origin, which is them branching out, obviously, to become a bigger storefront. But Ark surprised me a bit. I guess it was probably $30 or for most of the year until just before. But GTA 5 is still up there.
Yeah, of course.
It's ridiculous. but Nier got in the gold. That's really Civ 6 we talked about before. Stellaris is pretty good, the fact that it's up there. And For Honor.
Yeah, I'm surprised For Honor.
Considering
that was a bit of a shock.
For Honor. Yeah, that big that
fizzled
sort of flop at the start of the year, but apparently it's going really well at the moment. So
just hanging on.
I thought it had died, to be honest with you.
No, it's coming back. It's doing that whole Ubisoft thing of we've released a bad game, and but it's getting good. Like they're really working hard to make it better. Yeah, so right. Hollow Knight in the bronze position. That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's great for them, actually. There's some really good stuff there. There's some terrible wallpaper engine. $3.99 in the bronze position next
pretty
to...
wallpapers, okay.
Next to South Park, the Fractured Butthole, and NBA 2K18. That's hilarious. Darkest Dungeon's still up there. That's good. Like, there's some really good stories from Steam this year. Obviously, there's some terrible ones where people... I'll keep on forgetting.
Yeah.
Look, that's probably the main guts of it, the news that's happened. That's cool. So let's move on to what we're... Listener feedback, I mean. That happened. We've got Jesse asking a fair few questions to help us out because we didn't really advertise it very much. It's the start of 2018. What does USM have in store for its fellow community? And what do each of want to get out of 2018? Joey, you got any targets or plans for 2018?
Well, I've got the immediate one is like this last minute plan to go to Japan and fucking just see what the fuck happens. So I want to see what I'm going to obviously do a write up about Evo itself, just going to Japan in general for as someone who is into video games. I'm not going to have much time to see. Like, I fly 12 hours, fly in, land at like 6:45 on the Friday night, so I already missed the first day of Evo. Then I'll be at Evo on Saturday, Sunday, fly out 2 p.m. on the Monday, and I've got to go and talk to the manufacturers about the fucking box for my hitbox things, and I'm absolutely fucking packed.
You're busy as shit.
I just couldn't afford to make it go longer. Or it would, because there's like, there's obviously, you guys know that there's like the stores over there with all the retro gear. I'd fucking love to check all that out.
I've been to Japan 4 times now, man, every time I go, I lose at least fucking 2 days just in Akihabara, man, in Tokyo, like the big electronics district.
Because I'm staying in Shinjuku, I think, or Shibuya.
Shinjuku's got some good food, man.
I'm in those two suburbs next to each other, and I'm in the southern one of those two, whichever that is. Just an Airbnb, so I can't believe that was available a month before now. Like, and I figured there's gonna be fucking nothing there because like Airbnbs are cheap. Mm. Everyone going to Evo is gonna be a fucking cheapskate because no one has any money who plays video games professionally, except for like the top of the top. But anyway. So I figured there wouldn't be anything, but like I found this like really nice traditional tatami apartment. So like it's got the tatami mats everywhere. You walk around no shoes on. So that'll be really cool.
That would be cool, man.
I've got a friend I'm going to meet up with. He's from Hong Kong, but he's studying in Japan at the moment. So he's going to be like he's going to help me get around on the Friday night. We're going to go and probably just get fucking plastered. And then I'll stumble into Evo on the Saturday morning. I was like, what the fuck is going on? Man, Jesus Christ.
It is so fucking cheap to drink in Japan too, hey? Like crazy it's dangerous. Cheap. And there's alcohol everywhere.
Oh, that's
and if you, like, if you really want a good night, man, just go and find yourself one of the karaoke bars.
Yeah.
That dude, we found one in both Tokyo and in Osaka. It was 2 hours for effectively about $20 Australian. Unlimited beer.
What the fuck?
Yeah, man. We were flogged, hey. Like, properly flogged. Because they got, like, little cameras set up in the rooms, man. As you finish one, because they bring them in steins, too. Like, it's full steins of beer. you finish one stein of beer, there's a knock on the door opens, they've got another one there for you. Like, yeah, drink more. You're like, yeah, okay, I'll drink some more. It's free.
Yeah, that's what it must feel like that when it's $20 and they just keep ringing your beer. Fucking hell. Man.
It was flogged.
I'm so fucking excited for that. That's like, that is thing number one on the list of 20. I don't even know what the fuck's happening after that. Everything else is just, may as well not even be there.
Yeah. Well, it's a pretty big high, so it's probably going to be a lot of lows after that. So good luck.
Yeah, I can't. I'll have to fucking hang on until Mostana PC comes out.
What about yourself, Wilco?
I'm excited about revamping and polishing up Super Hype Train a bit, getting the production value up on that. We're going to probably do 3 offshoot podcasts from that that will come out irregularly, but they'll be. I'm pretty excited to bring them out. We've got some ideas running there, bringing indie to the fore a bit more. But I just need that email to get up, and I'll be sending out some emails to start getting some guests on for that. So pushing that pretty hard this year. So that's the number one thing at the moment, and hopefully just creating some more content. Like, last year was good, but it was mainly podcasts and a few articles. I want to get back into YouTube a bit more and that kind of stuff, and want to grow that Twitch channel and the YouTube channel. So just about to cash out my first time with YouTube ad revenue.
Nice.
It's above $100 as of next month. So, yeah, how good's that?
You're a real life professional now.
No, I'm not. But it's only taken me, a year and a half to get there. So in a year and a half, we'll see it again. It's ridiculous because those Just Cause 3, 2 videos that are about the same topic roughly bring me in about $4 to $5 a month US. Guaranteed without any other work. And when there's a sale in the Steam store, you can see this significant jump. And then obviously I had that whole PSN free game of Just Cause 3 mid-year, which fucking made me about $30 in a month, $40 in a month, which is awesome. Nice. So, but I do want to actually bring out some content again. I miss doing that. It's just obviously shit going on in my life at the moment it'll be a rocky start to the year. And hopefully, we'll get through that. And my whole work, everything changes in 6 months' time, if we can get to that point. So my job changes and I'll get more time, get more money. I can actually start doing a bit more polished stuff. And it's just production value this year on all fronts, Twitch, YouTube, podcasting, everything. Just want to increase it and make it everything better so we stand out a bit more. But the other thing I've just started teasing about today, AGPN Mario Kart Grand Prix series. I'm going to start doing that first, probably Friday of each month.
Ooh.
We'll get on one Friday night and just race for a couple of hours, and points will carry forward and have a bit of a fun year about it. I've just got a few details I need to confirm up, and we'll go from there. So that'll be fun. That'll as be well. Real good. What about yourself, Josh? Any plans?
Look, I mean, you know, as I think you kind of hit the nail on the head a little bit earlier there, Wilco, with what you said about yourself having a bit of a tough start of the year, and Maddie's kind of, you know, going through the same thing, and at the end of last year, start of this year, in general, for a lot of people, just wasn't as good as it could have been, I guess. So we ended last year with a lot of plans that
game quickly, of the year was shit.
Well. We ended last year with a lot of plans that kind of have come to a screeching halt a little bit, with some changes in personal lives and stuff like that. But this year's really all about just getting USM out there, keeping the content coming in, and some better content and some more consistent content for me, certainly, you know, and trying to do that a lot more. You know, I want to make sure that I'd love to go to PAX again this year. You know, that's something else I'd really love to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's my one show for the year, then I'm pretty happy with that, because that's a big one, you know. And we've met a lot of really, really awesome people there, and would love to go back and do that again. But just try and increase my output for USM, if that makes sense, you know. So, you know, talking to people and looking at getting a proper PC. You know, I operate off a laptop now, so I get a proper PC that I can stream off and do stuff like that, so I can start doing videos. I've started just hustle, doing man. Some... Hey?
Just hustle.
Well, that's one of the things I found out. We'll fiddle around with Twitch last night. Apparently, if you're not a partner, you can actually have people sort of stream to your account. So we can technically create an Ultra Super Mega Twitch channel now, and any of us can stream to it so, whenever we want.
Yeah, just so kind of
there's options.
Just kind of want to get into some of that, mate. And as you know, like I messed around with the Game of the Year podcast and edited that. So just getting my hands into a little bit of that sort of thing as well, and to lessen the load on everybody else and do a bit more than what I did last year for USN.
Yeah, well, that's a big key. I'm stepping away from a lot of the production side of things with my other podcasts because I just don't have the time. I need to free that up for other work and life.
And as a you know, we released that article in, you know, New Year's kind of time frame that said, you know, we're still trying to get to that happy medium for us, and certainly me personally. I know that, you know, Matt's the same, and I'm sure you guys are the same, trying to get to that happy medium of where it works with everything that we've got going on in our personal lives and our work lives and everything else as well, where all of this just happens. Because at the moment, like it is, we are still learning and we've still got some bumpy roads ahead of us, but we want to make sure that we keep bringing the good content out and you know, good, as I said, good content to you guys in the community, because you're the reason we're doing it.
Yeah, building the community up as well. That's another big goal for the year. But as far as USM itself has in store, that's pretty much what we've just talked about. More quality content coming your way. That's hopefully it comes through, and hopefully you guys enjoy it and tell your friends and bring the more people in. That's the key. He also comes back with what game is everyone's most excited for in the first half of the year.
Good one.
Anything?
My one's easy. It's just DLC, man.
Yeah.
It's right there. But there's also the other thing that I... Because this announcement came out after we did that question on the Game of the Year podcast last year, is the Tomb Kings pack for Total Warhammer 2. Fuck, that's... Yep. The trailer was so hype. I watched it like 20 times in a row. It's like, there's like the line at the end is like, "We do not serve, we rule." Like, yeah, that's sick. I'm going to buy the fuck out of that. So it's a competition between Tomb Kings and Dragon Ball FighterZ at the moment for me.
Yeah, okay.
And they're like, this month, man.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous month. It's a ridiculous first quarter, to be honest. Look, obviously Red Dead Redemption 2 is going to be up there for most for the first half of the year if it comes in the first half of the year. But Sleepy Time, I think it's called, for the Switch.
Oh, pretty much. Is that?
Looking forward to that. That's early this year, apparently.
Which one's that?
That's the
the tower defense one, isn't it? Where you're running around as a kid,
shooting the monsters in your bedroom at night. That looks awesome. All kinds of weird monsters and stuff. Yeah, that looks really good. Also, Brief Battles is now kickstarted, so officially congratulations of that. I think the official release is still first half of this year, but they've got a fair bit of money to pump back into that. The rumor still is God of War's out in the first half of this year. I'm very skeptical on that, but if it is, then that's probably one of the ones I'm looking forward to the most. I guess I'm not that excited about the first half of this year at the moment, but that's because obviously I've got no cash at the moment to buy anything, so I'm really relying on review keys and sort of dumb luck to come across playing games. Far Cry 5, I guess, that's what I'm angling at, trying to be able to get my hands on, because it is going to be the four-player co-op.
Far Cry 5, is it not out?
No, not yet.
No, it's March. I thought that came out like
last year.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. No, they brought out Far Cry Primal, which was the offshoot of 4. Yeah, that was last year. Yeah. But no, Far Cry 5 will be this March. So that's probably the biggest one, I guess.
Yeah.
Josh, any others to add to that file?
Wait, just Red Dead 2 for me. Like,
is that going to be out the first half of the year, though?
They're saying, like, you know, the leak of June 8th, like, if it is...
I think there'll be a delay. Yeah. I think it'll be fall, to be honest.
I don't know.
And you watch people scatter from then.
Like, that's what I'm banking on, like, that game. Like,
although they can come out mid-year and not care. Like, it's usually a dead zone. Mm. That's probably where everyone wants them to come out, to be honest.
When's Last of Us coming out?
Next year,
is it?
It'll be fall 2019. Yeah. They said not long ago they're only 50-60% complete. They're not finishing the rest of that game this year.
Slackers.
Sony's already got too big a year. Like, this is all saying it at the end of last year. this is a huge year for Sony as a publisher, and they don't need that this year. Every other year they've needed it, but they just don't need it this year.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So, but no, Red Dead for me.
Yeah, okay, cool. Do you think any consoles will be released this year? And if so, what? The only thing I can physically see being released this year will be the mini Nintendo 64. Other than that, I don't even think we'll get an announcement about any future consoles this year.
Nah.
Too early. So does USM have any sneaky guests featuring in the podcast in the future? Yeah, look, I'm talking to Gil from Odd Gods still.
And they, we'll get him. They on. Wouldn't be sneaky if we came out and told you that they're going to be guests. Like,
yeah,
you
know, no, we have a lot of stuff in the works. I will try and get Skill up on for a full episode fairly soon, because now he's a full time professional YouTuber. He quit his job the other day, so
congrats to him.
We'll get him and his brother on hopefully at some stage. There's a few other people. There's a heap of people I've got to contact this year that we've got in the background. We're working on, I also we've got this massive pool of talent of the AGPN crews that we'll get on to fill in as a fourth host or fifth host in the weeks where we don't have other guests, because they're good fun. And like, we're working with the two, Andrew and Paul from the Inconsolables on Hype Train this next episode, so we'll get one of them or both of them on. A couple NPCs I'll like to get them on. Brendan, we'll get him back on again. Yeah, there's heaps of guests coming, so look out. Yeah, I'm excited. This year's going to be good. So Whippy Boopy Shippy Nippy wants any early E3 predictions. Just give us one, Joe. I don't know what you're going to say, but give us an E3
prediction. Devil May Cry 5, completely climaxed.
Wow, that's a video I don't want to see.
All right.
That's basically a meme at this point. There's like a picture of Dante's face, and like, I think this, it's like even a line from one of the songs, I think, where it's like, the time has come and so have I.
Marvel vs. Capcom?
It's like, no, it's not that one. It's from one of the games where it doesn't look like a fucking demon. Well, I suppose that's kind of the point, but not in a good way. Anyway.
Shit.
Okay, so Josh, what game's going to be announced, or what's going to happen at E3?
This is probably, you know, a bit of a given, but my E3 prediction is that everything that's happening at E3 will be leaked before E3 happens. That's my prediction. It will,
yes.
Like, just,
that's fair.
Pretty safe bet, I reckon.
I've got two for you right now, and if you want to take them to the bank, because these are certainties. Two games starting with S will be announced. One of them will be new Splinter Cell. There'll be a reboot just called Splinter Cell. I love you, Whippy, but you'll get good joy out of that. The other one is the main one. Sony will announce a reboot of the Siphonfielder franchise as well.
You reckon?
On E3 stage. Yep, 100% guarantee you it will happen.
Heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
It's been recorded, so we'll listen to that later.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. That's as early as you can get for a prediction. So, look, that's pretty much it. What are you, Josh, what are you looking forward to over the next couple of weeks?
The new Digimon Cyber Sleuth game releases end of this week. So I'm pretty keen to get my hands into that. I really did enjoy the first one. It was a lot of fun. I'm tossing up if I should get it on the PS4 or the PS Vita. I'm not 100% sure yet. Like, I played the last one on the Vita, and I liked being fairly mobile with it. And I'm going to be down in Brisbane next week for a couple of nights.
I completely forgot to tell you about something that happened to me. I got a PSTV, a PlayStation TV, which is basically the Vita in a little box that hooks up to your TV. So I can remote play PS4 now in my lounge room, which is pretty cool. But yeah, go.
And looking forward to being in Brisbane next week, because I'm watching Foo Fighters on Thursday night.
That's right.
And it's going to be awesome, and it's going to be a really big night, and I'm not going to be very well come Friday, because that's Australia Day. So I'm going to be fucking maggoted at Foo Fighters. So if you're going to Foo Fighters, let me know, and I will just scream at the top of my lungs.
Okay. They will not let you know. No, I'm
they
sure
probably
they
won't.
Don't want to hang
out
with
probably
you.
Fair. No. That's probably fair. Just let me try and get some friends, man. Come on. It's lonely.
Now, Joey, I'm assuming I know what you're looking forward to, but tell us anyway.
Fucking Evo, baby. It's going to be crazy. Like, I want to try and find...
You got to live stream it on our Facebook page, to be honest.
I've got to get access to the Facebook page, don't I?
Oh, yeah, you don't have access to the Facebook page. Sorry, I forgot. I'm not trying to rub that in at all.
Yeah.
I honestly forgot that.
I'm happy to do that, and I think it'd be fucking great to do, but yeah. So I really want to try and finagle my way into like an after party somewhere. I think that'll be sick.
Because the time difference isn't that big.
It's like an hour. Yeah.
Yeah, sweet. So it's all prime time as well.
It'll be like as it happens at the finals on the Sunday. So if I can,
we will get you access. We will work that out.
Oh, you're promising big things there, Joshua.
It's gonna be great. I'm so fucking excited for that. There's other little things I want to do in Japan, and it all ties into stuff I want to do with the hitbox as well. So we'll see.
Nice.
Okay, cool.
How about you, Wilco?
I don't even know what I'm looking forward to. I'm just hoping to still be living in this house in the next couple of weeks. That's what I'm looking forward to be honest. catching up on 2017 games that I've missed. I sort of what I'm trying to do, I almost want to turn it into a Twitch series, but I don't have time to Twitch at the moment. But like I'm playing through Mario, I'm playing through Battlefront, I want to play through Shadow of War, so it's pretty much catch-up period for the next couple of months. Unless someone sends me a key, I love you all. You know, if you want to send me a key for a game, go for it. I love you. I will sell out to anyone, don't you worry about that. You just let me know. Where can people find you, Josh, if they really do want to find you?
You know what? I don't know. Not quite sure.
I saw you actually used a Twitter account the other day. I did a tweet and 3 days later you liked it.
3 days later. Hey, better late than never, unlike some people we know, a.k.a. Joey. Now, you can find me on Twitter at SuperMechaJosh and on the Discord. And if you want a game on any of the consoles I've got, give me a shout out. If I've got the game, we'll play.
Okay, sweet. Joey, where can people find you?
I'm not really into circle jerks, so I kind of avoid Twitter. Just not my thing.
Fair enough. Find him on Facebook at Joey Be Scared.
I prefer my sexual interaction like basketball, one-on-one and with as little dribbling as possible.
Okay, cool. So find him on Twitter, swipe left. No, right. Which way are you going to swipe for you?
Tinder is right.
I thought you were on Grindr. That's what I was told.
No, that's too real, man. I'm not brave enough for that. I'm on the Discord, as Joe Dredd. And you can always send us an email, joey@ultrasupermega.com.au.
That's it. I would love if I could get an email at the moment. That'd be awesome.
It is still down.
But you can get it. It's still down. Wilco's Chill Zone on Twitter, on Twitch, and a few other places as well. That's the main place. Hit me up in Discord. Join our Discord if you want to have some fun. This is a really cool, fun Discord at the moment.
Not Grindr fun.
Really
video game fun.
Not Grindr fun, but gaming fun. I jump on and there's a few people on most nights, and we had Dash jump in the other night and people just randomly arrive. It's great. If you want to find it, it's on our website on the social tab under Discord. Just click that link, you'll come straight to us in the general chat, which is great. Other than that, ultrasupermega.com.au is where you'll find all our content. On the Twitter at @ultrasupermega_ and on Facebook at @ultrasupermega_games. Please do contact us. Let us know what you're excited about in 2018, because we do want to talk about that a bit more. And we do love talking with our fans. But until next week, this has been great, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.
See you guys.